Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, little word association, the Houston Texans, their leading candidate, now emerging. I say discouraged. I go back to disappointment. Discouraged.
Wait. What happened to Josh McCown?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, the Houston Texans, who are a mess, by the way, they still haven't hired a head coach. There's still about three teams that haven't. We'll get into the coaching situation here in a minute. But apparently, there are reports as we do this podcast Monday night, that Josh McCown no longer perhaps under consideration. Of course, I don't know. I'm not sure why he was to begin with. And when I say I love Josh McCown, I love me some Josh McCown. He was only here for 1 year as a player. Let me tell you, there's no better stand-up dude in the NFL, man. And this guy had, like, he wasn't a great starting quarterback, that's to say the least. But he was with six or seven different teams, right? Like, mm-hmm. He could absolutely get it done coming off the bench. Hell, coming off the couch if he had to. Because he was that smart. He knew that much football. And he was athletic beyond his years. I mean, the dude could, like, standing, you know, dunk backwards on you know, he's like a phenomenal athlete, just sick athlete. But Josh McCown coaching an NFL team with really virtually no coaching experience outside of, say, high school, just struck me as odd, to say the very least, with all the candidates that are out there, the Eric Bieniemies and, you know, guys that have, you know, put in their time as head coaches. And Brian Flores is allegedly still sort of a finalist, but the latest reports out of Houston, and my good friend John McClain and others, according to my sources, it looks like Lovie Smith was the Texans defensive coordinator last year. Of course, former Illinois coach, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, and then his most success came with the Chicago Bears for the longest of times, 9 seasons there. But Lovie Smith, really? That's the direction you're headed as the Houston Texans? I mean, and look, I got along with him as much as anybody else. I was convinced that when he left, it was a good thing for the Bucs, probably a good thing for the NFL. And it just seemed like, you know, with Lovie, and I still love what he stands for. I would send my kid there to play for him at any college. There's no question about that. It's just that in building a staff, he had a lot more trouble because the longer he was in the league, the only guys that he would hire were guys that had coached with him in Chicago for those 9 seasons or former players that had played for him and then eventually made it to coaching. And it didn't seem like he moved the ball into the next, you know, generation of schemes and offense and defense and stuff like this. I could be totally wrong. I mean, Lovie Smith has forgotten more football than I will ever learn. I will grant you that. But in the 11th hour, the Houston Texans moving to a guy that they could have interviewed anytime because he's on their staff, right? And now you're going to turn to him, and it looks like he might be the guy who's getting the job? Where did that come from, for goodness sakes?
Well, was it they didn't like any of the other candidates? Although Adam Schefter reporting Texans believe McCown will be a great head coach, but just not today.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe whatever staff he was going to put together or the experience scared him off.
Maybe.
But, you know, or maybe Lovie was always one of the finalists you just didn't hear about. They didn't have to ask permission to interview him.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, all that stuff that goes on in the public and the Schefters and everybody else reporting, that can go completely under the radar because he was on staff.
That's true.
You know, no one had to know that you interviewed him. Maybe he was a finalist all along. And the Texans were able to keep that pretty quiet.
I mean, it's funny because, you know, they think Josh McCown might be a good head coach one day. Mm-hmm. I thought Lovie Smith used to be a good coach back in the day. So, you know, but he was a head coach and he was mm-hmm. successful. I don't know. Listen, who am I to judge, right? When he got here, this franchise was a mess. It was after Greg Schiano, Shawshank Schiano, whatever. You know, the building was on fire with MRSA. I mean, it was, you know, you had no quarterback. Mike Glennon was the guy that Schiano wanted to be a starter. So Lovie brought in, you know, Josh McCown because he knew him. And Josh, you know, on a team where you have a lot of pieces around you, Josh is very was very functional and won some games. But in this situation, I think they started 1-8. And I remember, I forget what team they lost to get to 1-8. But it was a horrific start, and it was even a worse finish. And that led to the Bucs having the first overall pick the next year, and they took Jameis Winston. But it was the crying game. You know, Josh was so invested in trying to win, and he got a chance to be a starting quarterback at an age where he thought that wouldn't happen again. And then they went out there, and they went 1-8. And I just remember coming in after the game, and he was teary-eyed. And he was like, you know, why are you so emotional? He's like, 1-8? 1-8? Nobody wants to be 1-8? So he kind of knew it was over for him, and it was. But again, if he wants to coach, Josh McCown will be successful. There's no question about that at some point, if and when he gets his chance. Brian Flores was supposedly in this thing as a finalist too. And we know, you know, he's got a pending now lawsuit against the NFL for, you know, their discriminatory practices in terms of hiring minority coaches, all that stuff. Also accused owner Stephen Ross of the Dolphins of offering him $100,000 to lose, not win, but to lose games, which is, holy cow. You know, that was the other thing that happened over the weekend. You know, when this happened and Brian Flores filed his lawsuit, and I guess they're not both mutually exclusive, but when he filed his lawsuit, it took about 2-3 hours. The NFL came out with a statement and said, this is without merit. This lawsuit is completely without merit. And then over the weekend, I'm headed to the bank, and I look down at my phone, and it's like the NFL has sent a memo to all its teams around the league saying basically, yeah, we've done a really crappy job with hiring guys of color or minorities or whatnot, and we're going to have some independent investigator on all these other issues. Like, what happened to without merit? So they do know they have at least an optics problem at the very least, but, you know, it was just sort of, it wasn't a complete flip-flop, but it was just sort of funny, the tone between without merit and then, yeah, we have a problem. He sent, Roger Goodell sent memos to the entire league. So now, how many jobs we got? I mean, we don't know that by this morning, maybe Lovie Smith will have the job with the Texans. We'll see. Looks like Mike McDaniel is going from San Francisco's offensive coordinator to the Miami Dolphins.
That's correct. So that leaves just the Saints with an open position.
The Saints have the opening. And from what I understand, they had asked for permission to talk to Byron Leftwich. I have not seen actually reports where he actually interviewed with them. I don't know that he has or he hasn't. But they're also, I mean, to me, the Saints have a really good in-house candidate, Dennis Allen. I don't know why. And look, I mean, you got to have an offensive guy and you don't have a quarterback, and those are all, you know, organizational problems and issues for sure. All I know is Dennis Allen has a really good defense. He does a really good job. And when he came down here, he destroyed. And I mean, that game, the 9-0 game where three of the Bucs' biggest, you know, producers on offense got knocked out within about 10 plays, that game destroyed the Bucs and their chances in the postseason. Tom Brady would still be playing this week, I believe, if that game had never happened or hadn't happened the way it did. And Sean Payton wasn't at that game. He was not coaching. It was Dennis Allen was pulling the strings, and he shut out the Bucs. I think Dennis Allen deserves another chance. I don't know if they'll hire him, but it seems like the right thing to do. So you got the Saints, obviously, like you mentioned, and if Lovie goes to Texas and
here's a question.
Goes to Miami.
And kind of getting off topic, but if Lovie goes to Texas or the Texans, mm-hmm. Jameis Winston's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Could there be a reunion?
Sure. Why not? That would make a lot of sense.
I mean, Jameis is better than any quarterback they had last year.
Well, I mean, they had the kid from Stanford, and he played okay.
Yeah.
But if you're looking to find a veteran with some upside,
if you're not going to play Deshaun Watson,
if you're not right, well, I'm going to assume they're going to trade him this year because they couldn't get the, you know, what they thought he was worth a year ago, I think you'd be foolish to try to hold him over at the kind of salary that he's making now. So, I mean, I do think he's sort of set up to trade, although obviously teams are going to try to hold him up because they don't know what Deshaun Watson's availability is going to be because the league, you know, hasn't come down on him and issued any suspension. But he does have a bunch of pending litigation, civil litigation, whatnot. So you're taking a risk still, but the draft is upcoming. So now is the time for the Houston Texans to maximize value for Deshaun Watson, who they paid like $40, $45 million to be inactive every year or every game last year. Listen, you tell me, and I'm not – the morality police, I think, have left the station in Tampa a long time ago, didn't they? I mean, you drafted Jameis Winston. He certainly had an issue coming out of college. You know, big settlement with an accuser. Somebody accused him of sexual assault coming out of school. And then you had him getting suspended three games, again, for allegedly violating the player conduct policy with an Uber driver. And then you had last, you know, 2 years ago, you had Antonio Brown, who, you know, basically is on probation because he assaulted a tow truck driver. They signed him for eight games and won a Super Bowl, re-signed him. He got hurt, came back, played, then did the striptease thing, you know, and was released the second year. So, you know, we're not – listen, the bar's not real high here. So I don't know what Deshaun Watson's pending litigation is. I don't know what his, you know, exposure is with respect to suspensions and things like that. I think what I've read is reprehensible. You know, I'm not sure how you go forward with that, but it's not to me. If you're the Bucks or you're Bruce Arians, I don't know that you're eliminating it. I think you're doing your homework on it, but I don't think you're eliminating it. And then, of course, like everything else, it's about compensation, how much somebody is going to hold you for ransom. But we've talked, you know, we're certainly going to keep talking about quarterbacks. The McDaniel hire is interesting because he's a different cat, man. He is not the guy, you know, unlike, you know, Greg Schiano back in the day. He's not the guy out of central casting that looks like an NFL head coach or sounds like one or necessarily coaches like one. Like, he's very cutting edge sort of analytics dude. But apparently, I mean, this Shanahan tree, Kyle / all the way back to Mike and the Redskins, is really the hot ticket right now. And that's what everybody wants to find, someone that has worked, you know, under Josh. And
well, Jeff Darlington posted a portion of Mike McDaniel's resume from 2005. Career objective: to continue my professional development toward the goal of becoming a Hall of Fame NFL coach while contributing my experience, knowledge, and character to an NFL organization in pursuit of a world championship.
Hall of Fame.
He said that back in 05.
Most guys would just go, I just want to be an NFL head. No, Hall of Fame NFL head coach. Pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seen some press conference with him. He's interesting. He was talking about, they were talking about a specific play, and somebody asked, you know, why they pitched the ball directly behind the quarterback instead of running a toss this way or that way. And he explained it so well. He was like, great question, you know. And he talked about how the keys for the linebackers of defense are this or that and how they're trying to be less predictable. He really explained it well. I mean, he has a great way of talking and communicating, which is, you know, half of the job, really. If you can communicate with your players what you want them to do, if you can tell them why you want them to do it and how it's going to help them, they'll buy in. Well, this guy's great, but not, you know, not a big name, obviously. I mean, a name that is in the Shanahan tree, but not somebody who's been a former head coach and all of that. So, you know, seems interesting to me that they went that direction. And, you know, God love them. We'll see what happens to the Miami Dolphins. This is a tough year. It's, you know, nine openings and, of course, not a great track record with minority hirings. And you've got, you know, you've still got good coaches out there. What it looks like to me, because I don't know this, but I don't think that the Saints are going to hire Josh McCown or, Byron Leftwich. But what it looks like to me is that Byron, you know, is going to come back to the Bucks, and I think that's going to be big, but it's also going to depend on who the quarterback is. If he's working with a young guy, we saw him try to work 1 year with Jameis. Mixed results at best. They would have liked to have had him back, or at least Byron would have. You know, we know that Clyde Christensen would have liked to have him back. And Todd Bowles coming back is huge. I mean, to get your coaching staff back, I think, is big for free agency.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's big if you've played in this defense or this offense and had success. Now, ultimately, you go where the money is. I mean, that's usually what's going to determine it almost every time. And there's no Tom Brady. You know, Tom is fully now into pitching his, you know, Brady line, clothing line, and all of that. But I do think, I think it's going to be good for Bruce. You know, Bruce is committed to coming back, and if he has his same sort of CEO role and has all his coaches with him again, that's a really good staff. And they may still lose a guy here or there, but that's a really good staff to have back, especially when you got all three coordinators. You know, and I think those guys will be head coaches one day, I hope. I think Byron will for sure. But, you know, that's the headline if you're a Tampa Bay Bucks fan, is that all these jobs now are just about filled, and it doesn't look like your guys are in it for the remaining three. So that's a good thing. Did you catch any of the Pro Bowl? How bad has that game gotten, man?
Just go ahead and put the flags on, and let's play flag football.
I mean, really? I mean, it's not embarrassing. If you just do that and just call it what it is, it's two-hand touch, and mm-hmm. sometimes not even two hands. I mean, this thing, listen, back in the day, I was fortunate enough when the money was rolling and we had, you know, lots of it as a newspaper industry. I remember I was sent to the Pro Bowl. I mean, I was sent to Hawaii. Tough assignment, right? They got, I think at the time, six or seven players into the Pro Bowl back in the 97 season, 98 Pro Bowl, or, you know, thereabouts, February of 98. And, you know, that was a year, I think that was a year where Mike Shula got fired at the Pro Bowl. Like, they fired the dude. He's coaching the NFC offense on a Wednesday, and the Glazers want him out. They're not happy with him. The Bucks have lost a bunch of, you know, postseason games in Philadelphia. Didn't score any points for 2 years. And, you know, Dungy was like, no. I went up to him. I said, hey, there's all this noise back at the Bucks back in Tampa, half a continent away, about Mike Shula and how the owners aren't happy and they want him out. And Tony was sort of like, well, last time I checked, my contract says that I get to hire my coaching staff. I was like, yeah, but what if? You know, like, what if they make this a sort of an ultimatum? You have to fire me. He goes, well, then I think I would walk. I was like, whoa, what kind of story am I sitting on here in Hawaii? And then, of course, at the end of the day, Mike Shula did leave. He resigned or was fired, whatever. He told the coaching staff, hey, look, they want me, I'll go. But to go from, you know, from Hawaii back to Tampa as a fired coach seems a little harsh. But the Pro Bowl, man, even back then, like, there was tackle football. It was still sort of tackle football. Now, oh, my God, it looks like a bunch of guys walking on glass. I mean, I've seen walkthroughs that have had more intensity than what they're doing out there. You know, there's barely contact. And look, I get it. Who wants to go out in a Pro Bowl in Las Vegas or any place, you know, 1 week before the Super Bowl and you go too hard and all of a sudden you turn a knee, you tear an mm-hmm. MCL or an ACL, or you separate a shoulder after a big hit? Nobody wants that, right? There's a certain etiquette, and it's just hard in football to throttle down so much. I mean, it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And they knew, to me, they talked about this a few years ago when it was really bad, and they said, look, guys, we're going to have to try to play some brand of football. There has to be some semblance, something we can recognize as NFL football out there. Now they're back to two-hand touch. It is.
Why do rough. They have – I mean, why not just make – enhance the skills – do more skills competitions?
I agree.
Get creative and, you know, forget the game part of it. The game doesn't mean anything. It's an exhibition totally anyway. If you're not going to play football – and I get why – like, I don't want to see anybody get hurt.
No.
I'm okay if they put the flags on and do flag football, but call it that instead of what yeah. they're doing.
Yeah.
But I would rather just see, let's come up with more creative skills games. I mean, you saw the NHL All-Star game. They had a blackjack game where, you know, Steven Stamkos is shooting, trying to hit cards to get to 21. Mm-hmm. They're hanging up there, you know, some skill. I mean, it was a creative way to include blackjack and Vegas and that. you know, figure out how we can do that in football. Do you know, I don't know what it is. I don't have the answer necessarily, but you know, something that would be more entertaining than what that was.
Everything was out in Las Vegas this weekend, and but one thing that's coming here to St. Petersburg is the 18th annual Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding. And it happens February 25th through the 27th. They got that beautiful 1.8-mile, 14-turn configuration of a racetrack there through the streets of St. Pete, circling Pioneer Park, the Duke Energy Center for the Arts, the Dali Museum, and, of course, ending up on the runways at Albert Whitted Airport. For information and tickets, please visit gpstpete.com. That's gpstpete.com. The Bucks did show up a little bit. I mean, they had seven of their nine players that made the Pro Bowl were there. Tristan Wirfs was out in Hawaii, but he couldn't play, obviously, because of his ankle. Tom Brady chose not to play. So of the ones that did, Antoine Winfield Jr. with, I guess you would call it a pick six. I mean, no one really tried that hard to tackle him, but he made a nice little fake pitch and ran one back for a touchdown. Mike Evans mossed somebody, again, badly, for a touchdown. That was fun. So, you know, you had Jensen and Marpet out there blocking. I mean, it was a good time, I guess, had by all. I'm going to guess that, I mean, can you imagine this? So Las Vegas, of course, you know, Sin City, City of Lights, City of Poker Tables and whatnot. Can you imagine, Steve, what those casinos look like when both the NHL and the NFL All-Star Games were there? I'm going to wager that even if your team won the All-Star Game, you're probably coming back a little in the red because I can't imagine what those casinos were like at night with those high rollers there.
Or the nightclubs, if you just ask Alvin Kamara.
Oh, who? Ask who?
Alvin Kamara. You may not even realize.
Oh, I did see this report.
Arrested on battery charge at a nightclub on Saturday night was the incident. He was arrested on Sunday.
Yeah.
Put someone in the hospital, apparently, or they're, you know, claiming that he was the...
The assailant.
Yeah, it's the stuff I was reading didn't look very good.
They picked him up like it sounded like right after the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, charges of battery resulting in substantial bodily harm.
Yeah,
is the charge.
That's bad. That's not the weekend Las Vegas that you want to remember. You know, and Kamara is such a big piece of that New Orleans Saints team. You just again, you don't know player conduct. We're a long way from convicting the guy, but I'm just saying.
No, we know they don't need a conviction to suspend them for some games for player conduct. So,
absolutely. That's right. And if you're going to have those things out there in Las Vegas, and I know they will, simply because, you know, Allegiant Airline Arena and all that is state-of-the-art, and they like to get events into new facilities and stuff like that. But Las Vegas is going to come with its own sort of, you know, pitfalls. I mean, there are some... There's no shortage of ways to get in trouble out there, and obviously Alvin Kamara may have found one of them. But that's a tough venue. I know the players say they enjoyed it. I mean, they had been in Orlando for a couple of years. They said they really enjoyed being in Las Vegas. Of course, I still think that you should not play a Pro Bowl that's not in Hawaii. That's my personal opinion, but it's very expensive. Aloha Stadium's kind of falling apart and all of that.
That's the bigger issue of all of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to do things in Hawaii, believe me.
It's a lot easier for them to do things in NFL facilities.
That's correct.
You know, just like, you know, that was one of the, when the Blue Jays were trying to find a place to play because of COVID and not crossing the border, you know, it was trying to find Major League Baseball ready facilities or facilities they could get close enough to because of all the infrastructure that's built in those stadiums now. From medical stuff to the technology for, you know, speed of pitches and stat cast and, you know, all that stuff. There's all kinds of stuff that goes into it. It's easier for NFL events to happen at NFL stadiums because of that. Whether, you know, in Hawaii, Orlando's got, you know, it's, you know, Camping World Stadium hosts many events and has a lot of stuff, but it's not up to NFL, you know, what the NFL does all the time. So it's harder to put events there now when you have these nice new facilities that have such great infrastructure for everything the NFL needs to do. Or baseball for baseball stadiums and, you know, NHL and NBA for their arenas, et cetera.
Well, we're going to see the new ones a lot. We're going to see Las Vegas. We're obviously going to see SoFi. I think, you know, this will be the last year that the Combine's in Indianapolis. That might be moving to Los Angeles. Yeah,
they said they're
around.
Bidding that. They're, you know, going to move that around.
They're going to bounce around.
Could move it around. It could be back in Indy, but.
Yeah, I think they're going to bounce around.
Well, we may have a new stadium in Tampa Bay, according to the Tampa Sports Authority.
You know, I saw that, like, okay, so you need to explain this to me. So when they did the studies for the two-city option, they also tossed in, well, let's see, what would it cost if we just built the whole thing that they wanted, which is some semblance of a retractable roof stadium. If you're going to play all your games here, you're going to run into some summer mm-hmm. you know, thunderstorms, so you need something to protect that. So Ken Hagan, I mean, I don't know if those guys, they had a commission at 900, am I hearing 900 million? Is that what it
so
cost?
So the Tampa Sports Authority commissioned a study mm-hmm. about the two-city plan and building a stadium, where, how much, et cetera.
Right.
At the same time, according to Ken Hagan, he and probably others insisted, let's study both a part-time stadium or, you know, half season and then a full season stadium. Let's, you know, if it gets to that, we'll already be done instead of having to commission another study. And so they released that results on Sunday. They think they can build a dome stadium or a roof stadium, not necessarily dome, but a stadium with a roof, I don't believe retractable, for $900 million in Ybor City. It looks like they were, according to the study, the K4 site there in Ybor, on the north side of Ybor. So they think they can do it for about $900 million. Which is about the cost of what the original Ybor Stadium was from a couple years ago when the Rays had that three-year window to talk to Tampa, came out with the stadium plans two-plus years into that three-year window, and it never materialized.
Well, I mean, listen, if you can resurrect the Ybor site, I love it from a location standpoint because mm-hmm. of so much of the population's up here in Tampa, mm-hmm. North Tampa, whatever. Certainly, you know, more than you have in that little peninsula of a peninsula of St. Petersburg. Although, I don't know if you read John Romano's column, and I look, from an aesthetic mm-hmm. standpoint, there's no better place. I don't know that they can do this, and they have talked about getting rid of this airport at Albert Witted for years. I don't know how much traffic there is. I don't know really what the city gets out of it. It's literally one of the most valuable parcels of land in the city because it's on the waterfront. You know, just what I guess it would be south of the old Alling Field where the Rowdies mm-hmm. play and all that, or Alling Stadium. So, you know, if you build a ballpark there, it would rival anything that you have, you know, in some of these other major league cities in terms of how it would look, whether that's San Francisco on the water with, you know, McCovey Cove and all of that. You know, it's a gorgeous spot. But as you pointed out, Steve, when we were talking about it, you're not really changing the dynamics of the population of, you know, people coming across the bridge. Of what it comes down to is corporate support. And I know these, you know, bunch of people in Tampa and business had gotten together and written a letter or signed a letter, at least sort of agreeing with or advocating or supporting, if you will, the two-city plan with Montreal before it got shot down. Those same businesses need to go out and buy tickets wherever they put this damn thing. And, you know, that's the way baseball works best is if you have corporate support and then you have your walk-ups and stuff like that. But it is encouraging on both fronts that they, you know, that there's a chance they could resurrect the Ybor site. And then, you know, they're not ruling out at least St. Petersburg entirely if it comes to that. But I'm with you. I think it needs to be in Tampa, and we'll see if they can do it. One thing that St. Pete does have is the 18th annual Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete, and that's presented by RP Funding. And it kicks off Florida's spring break season with some really high-speed excitement. Now, it's going to be February 25th through the 27th this year. So visit gpstpete.com for race information and tickets. It's just another racing season starting right here in St. Petersburg.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And then, of course, in Las Vegas, this was on Saturday. My little girls could not miss this. It was the NHL All-Star Game. But on Friday night, they had the skills competition, which was really cool because, of course, you had a bunch of Lightning players involved in that. Victor Hedman wins the hardest shot. I knew he had a hard shot, but, man, he let a couple go at about 103 miles an hour.
102.7, I think 103.2, the two fastest shots in the competition.
Yeah, that was fun. And then you had Vasi's, they did the goaltending, what was it called?
The save streak with Campbell streak. From Toronto. They were the division, they paired up together. They did nine saves.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stamkos took second in the, I think they called it NHL 21 and 22 or something. It was the blackjack cards. Kind of cool, different take on an event.
Yeah.
So he took second.
The precision that these guys have, and they did this thing, and the Lightning didn't have a player involved in this. They did this thing out on the fountains of, I don't know, it was Caesar's Palace or one of them, where they were shooting pucks across the water. But the precision they had, like even the thing Stamkos did to take out these cards that were, out in front of them a good ways and sort of play blackjack by targeting face cards, aces, nines, whatever you needed, was simply amazing to me. Simply amazing. The guy, I tell you what, and then they got to the All-Star game, and of course the Atlantic Division did not. They bowed out in the first round.
They've never won the event since it went to 3-on-3.
Isn't that crazy?
With all the great players in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah.
Bruins and Canadiens and Maple Leafs and Lightning and Panthers and all those players have never won the All-Star game.
Yeah, and it's a nice check if you win it, but they did not. The guy, okay, here's who – everybody's seen this. This has gone pretty viral. Took my heart away. Steven Stamkos' little son is so adorable and looks just like him, by the way, right down to the flowing blonde locks. It's crazy. And they did the post game, I think, after on Saturday, and he just wanted to ride the Zamboni, and he kept saying, not ride it. He wanted to drive it. And so Stamkos is, oh, you know, it's what's great is having my son here. He goes, I want to drive Zamboni, please.
But he was so polite.
He was so nice. It was, I want to drive Zamboni, please. He just kept saying it. I was like, oh, Steve's like, I got to go drive Zamboni. It was so cute. Oh, my God.
If just, they don't have him driving the Zamboni at the next Lightning home game.
He's got to, right? The Zambaby or whatever it is. I don't know what they call it there.
Yeah, they had that little baby one. They put him driving.
Yeah, he's got to drive one. He's got to drive something, man. That kid is adorable, and I can't. And you know, they had him. He had him on the ice on. I think it was
I think it was
Saturday
Friday.
Or Friday.
It was Friday.
Friday or Saturday. One of those days, he was out there skating with him, and I thought, that's it. That's a hockey player because he really doesn't look like he can walk that well. He's two. I'm sure he can walk, but there he was on skates at two. I'm like, think this dude might play some hockey or what? You know,
that too was, cute. That was awesome to see. Yeah, oh, that is just one of the fun things about the Pro Bowl, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, NBA, when their families are there and you see the kids and that part's really cool that they get to spend those moments, especially with their kids, around all the other athletes and that. It's really cool to see, and all the sports have that in their All-Star Games. I mean, the families are very welcome and wanted, and it's awesome to see. So,
yeah, and that's the. That's when it's fun for the players too. Now, obviously Stammer's kid still looks like he's two, but as they get older, but you can still share the experience with them. And that's what's really fun, going to those games. Cause you give up your break, you give up your days off to go to Vegas and perform in that stuff, but they put on a good show. I'm not crazy about the 3-on-3 and the way they do it with divisions. I mean, it was never great 5-on-5 either. Because, again, you don't want to hurt people. It's a contact sport, a collision sport, all of that. So these all-star games are bad. The only one that resembles the game they play is baseball. You know, I can have a guy go out there and let it go for three batters or one inning or whatever, and it's still batter versus pitcher versus a bunch of really good gloves behind you. And it's a baseball game. It is. It's a baseball game. The rest of them don't really resemble the sport during the regular season at all, and for good reason. You're just not going to hit guys. You don't want to tackle guys, get them hurt, in a Pro Bowl game. it should just be flag football. It should just be two-hand touch. They have skills too. And then same thing with the NHL. I mean, you know, how much ice time do you want for these guys? How many, you know, it's hard on the goaltenders to begin with, but if you're going to play three, you know, periods up and down the ice with the kind of elite skaters they have, what the scores were outrageous, right? You get like, you know, 12 to 10 scores after a while. But
we were talking so this week, the NHL All-Star game, I didn't realize this years ago, used to be the first game of the season. And
really?
It was the All-Stars of the year before would play the Stanley Cup champion.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. And it used to be at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you would play the Stanley Cup champion against the All-Stars, which is kind of a cool idea.
There was a time in my lifetime where the NFL would have a team, sometimes a Super Bowl team, that would play a bunch of college All-Stars in an exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. I mean, obviously the NFL, you know, team has all NFL players and the college might not, but it was something that they did, you know.
Well, don't we have three NFL teams in college already? Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State?
Kind of, yeah.
Maybe that's Georgia. True. Maybe there's four now.
Maybe, yeah.
And Rick, as we're taping this, there's some breaking news out of the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian-Russian Olympic Committee, which they don't have, Russia doesn't have a team, so it's the ROC. Their hockey match is delayed by 60 minutes at this point, or Canada's asking for a 60-minute delay.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian Olympic Committee or the Federation's medical staff has not released the team's COVID test to Canada, and Canada's refusing to take the ice. And the Russian team was in quarantine earlier for COVID. So the match may or may not happen tonight as we're taping this a little before midnight on Sunday night. So
now this is men's or women's?
Women's. Women's hockey.
Oh, women's. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite a development.
Yes, Russians will not release their COVID tests.
Well, not like them to withhold anything. They're pretty forthcoming, as you know. Very transparent society over there in the Soviet Union. That's disappointing. I mean, listen, in some ways, this has been a horrific Olympics for a lot of athletes that have been... I've been reading stories about how so many of them can't go... They literally can't leave their rooms if they're not competing or not practicing. Food has been hard to come by. Like, it's a mess. And, you know, obviously during the pandemic makes it worse and all the protocols they have over there. So
now apparently it's delayed until further notice.
Yeah.
And USA Canada is supposed to play in less than 24 hours.
Time to bang
those
it. USA.
By far the two. I mean, those two programs are so far ahead of everybody else in the world.
Oh, yeah. What, the women won 8-0 over Sweden? Is that what it was?
Something like that.
Yeah. They're powerful. Really good team. So, yeah, a lot of Olympics going on. My wife's been watching the ice skating, which you and I don't completely understand.
We'll talk about that later in the week.
Yeah. It's funny, man. You had a good take on that. We'll get into how you judge or how you don't judge. I don't know what we're watching half the time. Just remember, though, we do know what we're watching in St. Pete on February 25th through the 27th. It's the Firestone Grand Prix brought to you by RP Funding this year, and it is a terrific event. It kicks off the spring season of events here in the Tampa Bay area. You won't want to miss it. For tickets and information, you can go to gpstpete.com. That's gpstpete.com. Thanks for listening to us, and we'll be here tomorrow, of course, with the podcast and on through the week. I don't want to forecast what we're going to have this week, but I think, Steve, I think this is going to be a big week for us.
Yes, we're going to have lots of mailbag questions, so please get those in.
Plenty of those. Yeah, you can send those to us at SportsDayTV. You can reach me at NFL Stroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. I got those rolling in. Of course, a lot of Bucks questions, quarterback questions. Tom Brady cranking up his new clothing line. He's already started, man. He's on to his next life. So a lot of fun. A lot of fun with that. Anyway, for Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.